Hello and welcome to the Monday, September 10th, 2012 edition of the SANS Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Let's start with diaries, and diaries today is a Better Business Bureau email that's going around and offering a link to click on. Of course, if you do click on the link to check out what kind of complaint there may be filed against you, turns out you'll end up at the standard exploit kits that will try to download malware to your system. It's pretty easy, I would think, to look through this ruse. However, what I find is that over the last couple of years, we had a lot of attacks like this targeting small businesses. Small businesses, of course, are typically concerned about the Better Business Bureau. And yes, a lot of other people do receive these emails, but what they're really after are these small businesses. Then they install some banking malware on their systems. And then, of course, that is used to raid bank accounts. That can be rather devastating for small businesses. A lot of small business online accounts are not getting the same protection that you get from a personal account. So be very careful there. If the money is gone, the bank may not reimburse you. It's really up to the bank how much money they can recover and how much they will reimburse you, even though they don't necessarily have to. And then we got two more diaries to talk about. One warning about a Webmin input validation issue. So not exactly sure if this is actually new. However, if you're still using that system, Webmin is sort of a web-based admin console that some Unix users like to use to administer their system. Make sure you have the most recent version. That particular piece of software has had a lot of issues in the past. So be very careful with it, and I would definitely apply defense in depth and not, for example, allow access from random IP addresses. However, in part of the issues that have come up with Webmin is that, for example, a malicious user could leave a file behind, a log entry or something like that, that once you look at that with Webmin, you may then get exploited. And then we got a diary by Chris Mohan, and he's writing about how to use DHCP in order to sort of get a handle on bring your own devices. That has been a challenge for a lot of companies, and it's usually best to lock down your wireless network to not allow outside device to connect and set up a second network that is used for personal devices that users bring into the company. However, that's not always so easy. And even if you have the policy like this, still make sure that you actually enforce it. Now, on smaller networks, you may be able to limit the MAC address that connect to a network. On a larger network, just passive monitoring is one solution. And then, of course, 802.1x may be another way how you sort of limit access to that internal network and force users to use the outside public or a guest or whatever you call the wireless network that everybody is allowed to connect to. Now, even on that guest network, you do want to maintain some accountability on who has connected when to that network in order to trace down attacks, for example. Those wireless networks are probably the first thing an attacker with some proximity to your network would try to use to attack your internal systems, because quite frequently these guest networks are not as well segregated from the internal network as they should be. But let's see what we have in other security news. First of all, a little bit business news. We usually don't cover it, but in this case, VirusTotal, company I really like and a website I really like, they got acquired by Google. So I hope that will help them to keep the service up and running. It's a great service already. They had some stability issues over the years, just in part because they didn't have the resources to actually put enough servers and such behind their free service. So hope that their partnership with Google will help improve that service. And if you started playing with Windows 8, for example, if you are a member of Microsoft's TechNet service, you can already download the general availability version, which is supposed to be close to the final version. Well, you do have an outdated version of Flash now, which isn't really a big surprise. That was released about a month ago, and we had some important updates since then. However, there is no real way to update it yet, so you should disable it and maybe just be careful as you play with Windows 8 what you actually do with it. I'm not sure if there is an exploit actually for Windows 8 or if some of the Windows 7 exploits or such will work. Well, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.